The sermon this morning comes from Genesis chapter 35. Please turn with me there. Genesis 35, starting with verse 16. I'll read to verse 20. When they journeyed from Bethel, and when there was still some distance to go to Ephrath, Rachel began to give birth, and she suffered severe labor. When she was in severe labor, the midwife said to her, "Do not fear, for now you have another son." It came about as her soul was departing, for she died, that she named him Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. Jacob set up a pillar over her grave, that is the pillar of Rachel's grave to this day. Pray with me. Father, as we look again at more loss and more pain in the life of the church, show us what you are doing. Show us how to respond to you so that you will be glorified in our lives, so that our lives and our thinking will be conformed to your word, so that we will turn our faces towards your Son, Jesus Christ, so that we will point others to your Son as well. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Imagine most of you can think of a time where you cut yourself or you are cut by something. There are few things as startling as looking down and seeing yourself opened up and seeing your own blood. Even to a child, a scraped knee is an occasion to scream and cry. The smallest cut is you plead for a Band-Aid. How much more so when we report for a medical procedure? How much more so when we're going under the knife, when we're put unconscious? I can think of times when I had surgery and I'm laying on a table and you're waiting for them to put you to sleep so that they can open you up. This feeling of helplessness, this feeling of hopelessness, as you will be asleep and someone will be cutting into your body. Well, recently, a young man that has been my friend was going under the knife. And the reason was he was having a leg amputated. Imagine having something that has been yours, something that you've clung to, something that you've cared for. It's time for it to be cut away. Imagine losing a leg. Well, this young man, as it for us and for most of us, we would think of this as a tragedy. For him now, though, this was a deliverance. For him, this was a help. As he is now a teenager, when he was a young boy, his grandfather was cutting the grass on a lawnmower, and the little boy ran to his grandfather and then stopped short, and he fell to the ground, and he slid, and his foot and his leg went under the lawnmower. And you can imagine the devastation and the pain. And then for the decade following, this medical procedure after medical procedure after medical procedure, to make this right. But he had lived in this pain for a decade to the point where he finally just asked, "Can I just have my leg cut off?" And so for what immediately for me and you would seem like this pain and seem like this tragedy was actually an answer to prayer. Was actually help and deliverance to make him who he could be. And now he walks with a prosthetic limb, and now he's happy, and now he's relieved of this pain. You see, each of your pains, each of your sorrows, is really this medical procedure, something that we would strive to stay away from, something that we would run from, something that we would simply want deliverance from. But it's really a rescue. But it's really a help. but is really to deliver you and to make you who you were meant to be. As we look here at Jacob, Israel, we see him in this situation that is a pain and is a sorrow. As we look here and we see Rachel in this situation that is a pain and is a sorrow, and she names this son that she longed for, Benoni, son of my sorrow. Jacob says, no, this is the son of my right hand. This is the son of my strength. Because through the midst of sorrow, through the midst of pain, Christ meets you. So the call for you this morning is to call your sorrows your strength and your joy. Our first step in this journey is beware, as your great joys can be your great sorrows. Look with me at verse 18. It came about as her soul was departing, for she died, that she named him Benoni. But his father called him Benjamin. You see, Jacob, for him at this point, his great love, his wife, is becoming a sorrow. The wife that he loved and longed for, the wife that he happily said, I will work 7 years to have this woman. As a man who has completed very few things in my life, unless I'm forced to, it's difficult for me to imagine laboring 7 years to get something. But it says the 7 years went by quickly for him, because his heart was so turned towards Rachel. We look at Rachel in Genesis 30, verse 1. It says, now when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, she became jealous of her sister. And she said to Jacob, give me children or else I die. This was a longing for Rachel to possess a child. And now when the child comes, it's called the child of my sorrow. Son of my sorrow. See, so often the things that we long for, the things that we strive for in this life, the things that we would run after in this life, the joys that we think we would have, and we have them for a time, are taken away from us and can indeed become our great sorrows. And the tragedy is, so often these things come between us and Christ. These things that we would long for, the things that we would run after. We see poor Rachel here, having longed for children. And now she's about to see Christ face to face. But all she has is sorrow now. Because she's being taken away from the child that she would love, the child that she would hold. Nothing should be between us and Christ. Nothing should be between us and the joy that we find in our great salvation. So make certain that your joy is indeed safely in Christ. And in nothing else that you would run after and long for. This is a difficult lesson for all of us as we look and see the trappings of this world. So many things that we would long for. Things that you would long to possess. Degrees that you would long to possess. A spouse that you would long to possess. A job that you would long to possess. A vehicle that you would long to possess. A place to live. A house that you would long to possess. All of these things shall indeed pass away. And when they do, they must not come between you and Christ. Christ must indeed be your first love. So how then do we respond to sorrows now? Look with me at verse 17. When she was in severe labor, the midwife said to her, do not fear, for now you have another son. I'm going to call upon you to minister to hurting hearts with whispers of hope in Christ. Minister to hurting hearts with whispers of the gospel. You see, in the midst of every sorrow, in the midst of every trial, there is hope. There is hope. As I've talked to people who are on the least pretended to be on the edge of suicide, I've always been able to tell them with confidence the way that you can be certain God is not finished with you is if He gives you another breath. I can tell people with confidence who want their lives to be over, God is not finished with you, or He would have already taken you out. You see, there is always hope. There is always hope in Christ. God is the master of turning things around and turning sorrow and shadow into joy and into life and light. See, as this midwife gives this whisper of hope, you have another son. How much greater is your hope? How much greater is your hope than an earthly child? You see, your hope is than the one who was the heavenly child, who is now the heavenly son, who is now the King of glory. So in the midst of your own sorrows, minister to yourself, to your own hearts, with whispers of hope of Christ. Who He is, what He has done, what He has accomplished, what He will accomplish. And minister to the hearts of others with the hope of Christ as well. What other comfort can you offer other than Christ? I have marveled at people who turn to one another and say, it will be okay. I've also seen people, for example, in movies, who make these promises, I will come back. You will see me again. We will get through this, and make these crazy promises. Really, there is no place for such promises in times of war. Even now, we live in a time of war. We must be very careful with the hope that we give people. If you tell them it will be all right, you need to tell them what you mean by that. Does it mean that your loved one will not pass away from this illness? Does it mean you're going to get everything that you want? Does it mean in this world you're going to live happily ever after? Not before the death. Not before we've passed into eternity. In this world, you will have sorrows. But take heart. Christ has overcome the world. So the sorrows, the pains, they will come. But for you who trust in Christ, there is light at the end of the tunnel. For you who trust in Christ, as you march forward, even as Christ carries you forward, you will have deliverance. You will indeed have rescue. You will indeed have peace. As Christ has died and has overcome the world and has even overcome death. So trust in the one who has loved you, the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in the one who is loving you even now, the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in the one who has given you loving kindness that will indeed last for eternity, even through the midst of your sorrows. And minister to your own heart with that truth. Minister to the hearts of others with that truth. So how do we find joy in the midst of sorrows? I call upon you now, see difficulties as an opportunity to draw near to Christ. Again, verse 18, it came about as her soul was departing, for she died, that she named him Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. In Psalm 130, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Hear my voice, let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications." This has a difficulty for me in the midst of sorrows, in the midst of pain, in the midst of not having everything that I would want, in the midst of seeing other people hurt by sin, and being hurt by my own sin, as well as other people's, and all the consequences of sin. It is a struggle for me to tell my own heart, "Peace be still." It is a struggle for me to tell my own heart that this pain and this sorrow is indeed a blessing from your Heavenly Father. But according to Scripture, according to your Heavenly Father, according to the one who cannot lie, these sorrows are for your good. Your pains are for your good. You not having everything that you want is for your good. You not having even everything that you would think you need is for your good. You can even think of it as a large file rubbing against you, forming you into the shape that you are meant to be. Knocking off the rough edges, polishing the rough parts to make you shine for Christ. See, each pain and each sorrow, we need to tell ourselves to embrace it, because this is the will of the Father for you, to accomplish your good and His glory. But this only comes as you set your hearts right through the midst of it. We cannot sit in our sorrows in bitterness. We can't sit in our sorrows moaning for ourselves. But we must turn ourselves to thoughts of Christ. Turn yourselves to thoughts of His suffering, the thoughts of His pain, considering what He has endured for you to purchase you. And in those times, then you sit down next to Him. In those times, you are drawn up in His arms. He understands your sorrow as He understands your misery. And one of the beautiful things about Him is he is a much better father than I am. As a child will come to me and think they have a severe wound, and I see a small scrape from a briar, and I say, "Ah, get out of here." Do you know that our worst pains and our worst sorrows do not compare to what Christ has suffered? Our worst physical wounds do not compare with what Christ has suffered. Hands and feet pierced, whipped and beaten. And yet, in your physical pains, He says, "I know what that feels like," and He holds you fast and comforts you. Your worst emotional pain, whatever you have lost, whatever rejection you have faced, cannot compare to hanging on the cross and the sky going black, because the Heavenly Father cannot look on you. And yet, in your pain, in your rejection, in your sorrow, he doesn't like me and say, Dad, get over it. But when you come with the right heart, with a broken and contrite heart, which he will not despise, he will scoop you up, and he will hold you, and he will say to your heart, Peace, be still. See your difficulties as an opportunity to draw near to God. Next, look with me at verse 19. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. Do not let your heart hinge on any earthly stability. Matthew 6:19-21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you are able to be undone by earthly trials, where are you laying up your treasure? The things of earth will indeed all pass away. Every earthly relationship will eventually pale next to your relationship with Christ. I think the beautiful example of that is the husband and wife. For now, here on earth, we are one flesh. For here on earth, there is no more intimate relationship than husband and wife. And yet, when you pass into glory, even that relationship will pale next to your relationship with Christ. It's not as if something is ripped from you and you will miss it then. It is your relationship with Christ will so shine and fill and complete both of you that you are not ripped in half. That you are complete in your relationship with Christ. And that then you are simply brother and sister praising the same God together, full and complete, that be just simply side by side, praising as brother and sister. You see, letting your earthly stability hinge on anything of this world is like buying ice sculptures as your investment for your retirement when you live in a desert. Anything that we would run after, anything that we would cling to, the light will shine in these things, although beautiful here, although shiny here, will simply melt. We'll find ourselves with nothing but wet sand as our inheritance. But if Christ is your top love, if Christ is your stability, my dear brothers and sisters, you will not be undone. You will not be undone. Because the one who holds you by the right hand, though you stumble, you will not be cast headlong. You will not be undone. Though heaven and earth pass away, his word will never pass away. Though child may die, and will die. Though spouse may die, and will die. Though parent may die, and will die. Christ is everlasting. His word endures forever. So focus on on eternal reality for your joy. The reality that you have one who will never leave you nor forsake you. The reality that there is one who is even now preparing a place for you. If he goes and prepares a place for you, he will come again for you. So what can we do? And what can we look for as the sorrows do come? We'll see difficulties as a sign of God's love. It came about as her soul was departing, for she died, that she named him Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. That is, son of my right hand, not son of my sorrows. Through the midst of the sorrow, through the midst of the pain, he saw promise in what Christ has done. And we must remember that this is even in the midst of losing the wife that he loved so, the wife that he would do anything for. So there she goes. Here goes his beloved Rachel. Off and gone. But we must remember in the midst of such trials, it is indeed a sign of God's love. In Hebrews 12, verses 3 through 8, and this is bringing a quote from the book of Deuteronomy. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You have not resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. Your pain, every one of them, is because he loves you. Your pain, every one of them, is because he would have you draw closer to him because he loves you. I had a lot of difficulty with disciplining one of my children. The child would scream bloody murder as he was disciplined. And it was a huge embarrassment for me, even if no one was directly around, because I knew Eastvale heard it. We were in the back one time, and we were up in the parking lot, and I had given a direct order, and the child wasn't sure that what I was saying was best for his safety, and he rejected my counsel, and I said, "Now, or you will be paddled." He did not respond appropriately. When I laid hands on this child, the blood, cry, scream filled the air. And I had to remind him and point him to the proverb where it says, discipline your child for he will not die. I said, stop screaming like you are dying. You will not die. You, in the midst of your sorrows, in the midst of your pain, you will not die. You will not die, though it hurts now, though it hurts terribly, though it may seem like you're being undone, though it may seem as if you are forsaken, you will not die. You will not die. Do not mourn as one who has no hope, but remember that this is the discipline of the Lord who loves you, who cares for you, who would refine you and would see you as you were always meant to be, who is preparing you for good works that he has prepared beforehand for you to walk in them. This is why you face sorrows. This is why you face trials. Because you are indeed loved. So cling tightly to Christ in the midst of pain. knowing that every pain is indeed a sign of His love. Next, look with me at verse 20. Jacob set up a pillar over her grave. That is the pillar of Rachel's grave to this day. I call upon you now in every pain. Look forward to the resurrection. A marker set up for a dead body. Is that all it is? Is it simply dust that's returning to dust? Is it simply ash that's returning to ash? Or is it something else? See, it's striking how Scripture talks about a body. It doesn't say a dead body, or it doesn't just say this dead thing. It'll talk about Rachel being put in a grave. It'll talk about Sarah being put in a grave. You see, although the body's returning to dust, although the body's returning to ash, it's a seed being planted. It is a mortal thing that will indeed put on immortality. We don't grieve and mourn as those who have no hope. Yes, we grieve. Yes, we mourn. Yes, we get hurt. Yes, we face sorrow. Yes, we face pain. Yes, we are cut. But there's something that we look forward to. There is a light that shines in every darkness, and it shines in every shadow. Though we pass away, though loved ones pass away, we look forward to the resurrection. Yes, Rachel's old body was put there, and yes, a stone was set up. But a day comes, and a day will come, when Christ returns, and those who have already passed away come behind Him as the armies of heaven, and the dead in Christ are raised first. And those who have become wrinkled and weak, those who have passed away, are made glorious. You, as you become wrinkled and weak, have this hope that you will become glorious. You who pass away have this hope that you will indeed become glorious, because Christ died and was raised. So you too will be raised. Imperishable. Incorruptible. So in the midst of your sorrows, in the midst of every pain, in the midst of every disappointment, look to the resurrection and call your sorrows, call your pains, your joy and your strength, as they are indeed evidence of Christ's love for you. Pray with me. Our God, help us to not mourn as those who have no hope. But God, cause us in the midst of every pain and sorrow to trust in your Son. Even now, O God, help us to examine ourselves. Help us to examine our hearts and the ways that we mourn. Cause us to adjust our thinking and to adjust our affections in the midst of our pains and trials, to love you more, and to see these things as you see them, as opportunities for us to draw close to you and to love you more. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.